Welcome in to the David L. Gray Show, off code and unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. You know, I'm laughing because I know this is going to be a very challenging show. The reason why I know it's going to be a very challenging show is because even before the show got started, 44% of you said you gave it a thumbs down. 44% of you, almost half of you, gave the video a thumbs down before I even said anything. Nearly half of you just looked at the title, looked at the thumbnail, said, "Hell of you, David O. Gray. I'm not buying anything you're selling today." Oh my goodness, the internet is crazy. 44% of people said no. Even before I said like one word, even before I said, "Hey, it's the David O. Gray Show, off code, unscripted on St. Dominic's Media." Even before I got in, even before I said hi, I've been gone 10 days. I haven't made any videos. I've been off at the Olympics, running through Paris, trying to avoid like gay stuff. And I just get back, I feel like I have to make a video because, you know, I'm just a sheepdog, just trying to get these lions off of you guys. 44% of you said, "Screw you, David O. Gray." Wow. Wow. What type of love is that? But welcome in. Welcome in to the show, my friends. We do got a smoker today. It is going to be a challenging show. It is. Dr. Taylor Marshall. I'm thinking of DJT. I'm thinking of DTM. Dr. Taylor Marshall has excommunicated himself. He's excommunicated himself. Dr. Taylor Marshall has excommunicated himself, Latte Cynthia, ipso facto, from the Catholic Church on the same grounds as Vigano. And I'll explain that in this video, how, and I'll give you evidence, right? So I'm going to cook this one. I'm going to go into the kitchen in this one. I'm going to cook this up real good for you. For those who want to actually listen to the content and not give me a thumbs down before I even showed you my evidence. Come on. So let me warm up because I'm about to cook. You know, it's that time of the year when I do have to cut back on my podcast, so I can focus on completing some projects that we have with St. Dominic's Media. We have a wonderful traditional Catholic priest in Australia, Father Anton Brennan. He's writing his second book with us. In fact, we have two more books of his in pre-publishing. One is a follow-up to his novel The Father, which is a fascinating fiction book about a traditional Catholic priest in a small town, and the people in the small town, they don't know what's going on. He starts a traditional Latin mass, and so he has a follow-up to that, which is really exciting. And also he has a memoir about a traditional Catholic priest who, after Vatican II, in particular, after the beginning of the Francis Pontificate, everything has changed and he feels completely persecuted. And it's an amazing memoir. So we have that project going on. Father Hellnaw, who was at the Olympics as well, maybe you've seen a short video. He came to the Olympics. we were in some sort of VIP area. That was really nice. And Father Hellnaw walks in and everybody is crazy. People want to take pictures with him. People are asking Father Hellnaw for a confession, which is kind of weird, you know. So we had a good time down there. But Father Hellnaw season 2 starts in September. So we got that going on. My catechism series, I got to finally wrap that up because a lot of people want to take that course for their OCIA, RCIA thing. So I got to finish that up. So a lot going on. So I got to get this little podcasting I do down to just, you know, once a week. So I'm at the Olympics and I'm thinking, you know, what can I talk about? Like, I really do want to talk about more inspiring things. I want to do some micro looks into my conversion story. Like, I want to talk about that moment when I knew I had to become Catholic, you know, some micro glances, micro topics into my conversion story. So I want to talk about more positive things. I really do. Like I used to talk about it on this channel. But the Rad Trad Inc., they aren't just giving this sheepdog a rest. I don't, you know, even though I feel like there's more people in the space, that are calling Rad Trad Inc. on her bullcrap. You got people like Christine Harrington at Eternal Life Network. She's putting out more content about the craziness and how people are trying to drive people away from their faith, how this is just a money grab from Rad Trad Inc. Father Imbrado, who I had on the show as well, he's doing more content. He's not buying into the lies. He's exposing what they're doing. So I don't feel like I'm alone anymore. You know, there's Michael Lofton, but I don't think we do what he does. We're not apologizing. We're not being myopic. I think at least Christine and I think we can, you know, we're mature enough to say that two things can be true. Pope Francis can be a horrible pope. For the last 10 years, we've seen exactly what's been going on. Gay stuff, Skittle stuff. We know this papacy has been a disaster from the beginning to today. We know it's been a disaster for the people he's appointed, bishop and cardinals. We know from the people he's demoted, who he has met with, who he hasn't, what's been going on in China, who advises him, what happened during, what's up with that mandating us to take a COVID jab, shutting down the churches, and just the things that he's taught that are contrary to the faith, such as calling the Holy Eucharist the bread of sinners. Just the litany of things just knows no end. So we can say bad pope. I'll say the worst pope in the history of 2,000 years. But at the same time, we can say that there are devils out here. And I've used different constructs to explain who Rad Trad Inc. is. I've said CIA state operatives. You know, I've said Rad Trad Inc. I've explained it in the context of Marxism, trying to make people victims. Right. So we can say those two things are true. Pope Francis, bad pope. We pray for him. We hope that he's getting better. There are some signs that he may be, right? That he has some sort of self-awareness of what he's of the outcome of his actions. But at the same time, there are people who are trying to destroy your faith. So I do want to get to some more inspiring topics. I do. And I guess I will. You know, Father Hell No, he's kind of inspiring. So we'll get to that. So I contrast what's going on with Dr. Taylor Marshall and him being excommunicated himself, ipso facto latae sentia. I contrast him with someone like Father Chris Alar from, I think it's called the Divine Mercy, something, Marion, who recently put out a video, another horrible video, which knows he has no end of making just horrible videos. In which he proved once again that he doesn't have a clue. I feel bad for him. It's a little bit embarrassing. Father Chris Alar is the worst researcher in the history of researching. That's the best way I can. If anybody who has ever done research, like, hey, I'm going to research something. I'm going to pick up a book, go online, talk to some people, something. As long as people have been doing research, like, I don't know when it first happened. I don't know if it was like a caveman researching his wife. Like, hey, guys, you know about Jessica over here? Is she for the streets or can she make a good wife? Right. Just doing basic research. I don't know when it happened. I don't know if someone was like, hey, does anybody know what this red thing is over here? Should I eat it or not? Has anyone done any research? Has anyone ate this and died? Right. Just the 10,000, 20,000 years ago when people started doing research. From then until now, Father Chris Alar is the worst researcher there's ever been, right? I really think he's clueless about anything that doesn't have to do with Marian topics. His video on Freemasonry was so bad. It was like an hour-long video. It took me 3 hours just to correct everything that he said. Why? Because typically, you know, when I critique these videos by Catholics on Freemasonry, because I'm an expert on Freemasonry, right? And when you're an expert, I was an expert as a Freemason, I'm an expert now as a Catholic on the historical perspectives, right? And when you're expert on something, the only thing it does, it affords you the unlikely situation of having to find flaws in everything. You talk to a chef, talk to a good chef. A chef can just look at something and just know it's bad. Why? Because he's an expert. He can taste it, tell you everything that's in there. Why? Because he's the expert. All right. Most people don't have expertise in a lot of things, right? I think in my life, I'm 52 years old now. I think I've been very good at a lot of things. Running 800 meter, very good at that. Baseball, trumpet. I've been very good at things. Aspects of Catholic theology. I know I'm good at things because I can teach them, right? I've been probably expert in maybe two things. Maybe chess. 10 years ago, I think I reached my maximum expertise. And, you know, Freemasonry, aspects of it, the philosophy, the history, right? And so when you're expert in something, yeah, you find flaws in everything. I remember when I used to be like an expert chess player. I remember I put this guy in checkmate one time. And it was, I used to see the board like no one else could see the board. And it's kind of sad now when I try to play chess now. I know who I was versus who I am now. I still could beat most people, but I know that I'm just reacting. I'm just thinking about what I'm supposed to do. But man, I used to be so fun. I put this one guy in checkmate one time and he sat there for 3 hours trying to figure out how, you know, I left, I came back. He was like, still there. I was like, what do you do? He's like, I'm trying to figure out what happened. All right. And so, yeah, when you're expert, yeah, you critique these things. So when I critique these videos that Catholics make on Freemasonry, there's always three or four typical errors they make. They always say, oh, 33rd degree is the highest degree. They always say that Freemasonry, there's degrees within degrees. They always say that the 33rd degree, they step on a papal tiara or something like that. They always say, oh, Freemasons don't know the secrets unless you're in the highest degree. And, you know, but Father Chris Aylar, he said those and like 100 more. It was so bad. If he had just went to Wikipedia, he would have done better. And I lost respect for him at that point, outside of his ordination. Whatever God has called him to do, I love him for that. Outside of that, no. No, no, he is crazy. Then the other day, he created a video saying that the SSPX, the Society of St. Pius X, was in schism. Like, I'm out here, you know, I was in Paris, you know, just, you know, I'm on my phone, I'm just scrolling through, and what? By what basis does he say the SSPX is in schism? And you guys know I'm not a big fan of the SPX. I don't like how some of the priests and some of the lay people say that's the only place you can go to mass and that going to the Novus Ordo does not fulfill your Sunday obligation, that the Novus Ordo was an irrigation sin. This is the teaching of the SSPX. I don't like that. I punch somebody in the neck. But they're not in schism. We can use the word irregular, which needs more development. It's not really a theological word to explain what's going on there. But they're not in schism. If they were in schism, Pope Francis wouldn't give them the permission, the license for their priests to hear confessions, to offer a valid sacrament of confession. And by the way, that's the only valid sacrament that they can celebrate, according to Pope Francis, in the church, in church teaching. So they're not in schism. If they weren't in schism, then Pope Francis couldn't give them an allowance. But here's the thing. I think Father Chris Aylar, he means well. I think he means well. He's just a little slow. Just a little slow bus, right? He's not playing with a full deck when it comes to like doing adult level research, right? Plus, he's really popular now. You know, I think he feels like, you know how you become popular as a priest. You know, you feel like you have to say the right thing that make more people like you and not lose any likes, right? And so I think he's bought into that. But he's wrong, constantly wrong about everything. He's wrong about the Olympic ceremony as well, opening ceremony. But I think he means well. He's just slow, right? Little slow bus. That's not the case with Dr. Taylor Marshall and Vigano. They lie. And I think it's pure malice and evil tint. And let me explain why. You know, I saw this survey also when I was, you know, away. And I was just shocked. This is the survey that goes along with one of the videos of, you know, he's doing his videos, his series of videos with Vigano, where he reads some sort of dubia that he sent Vigano some questions, right? And this survey came up and is saying that he asked this poll during video. It said, is Archbishop Vigano validly excommunicated? First of all, I don't know why this is a question. The question itself is schismatic. He's asking people, is Archbishop Vigano validly excommunicated? And 75% of his followers say that Vigano has not been validly excommunicated, even though the church is teaching that the church didn't excommunicate Vigano. Vigano excommunicated himself. So the valid excommunication is just ipso facto, latae sentia. You excommunicate, just like a person, if they get a woman procures an abortion, you excommunicate, latae sentia, ipso facto. Right? So what the church had done through the tribunal process is just adjudicated, just to make a formal, just a penal process to make a formal declaration of what was already a known fact. Vigano excommunicated himself ipso facto. But 76% of Dr. Taylor Marshall's viewers said that wasn't the case. I was disappointed seeing that. I wasn't shocked, wasn't surprised. Why? Why wasn't I shocked? Why wasn't I surprised? I wasn't shocked and I wasn't surprised because I recognize the fact that conversion is difficult. It's challenging. I find that while conversion is difficult, conversion is challenging, what is very easy in our life is believing whatever we want to believe. There's something that you want to believe, you can believe it. It's very easy. Just tell a lie to yourself. If you tell that lie to yourself enough times, well, it becomes a fact for you. It's your truth. On the contrary, I find that if you're not wrestling with either what the church is teaching or the application of what the church is teaching in your life, if you're not wrestling with how to be Catholic, if you're not wrestling with how to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, like wrestling with how do I do these corporal works of mercy? How do I visit someone in prison? How do I clothe the hungry? How do I pray for someone who I just have an emotional, just like a visceral hatred for? How do I pray? How do I desire the best for that person? If you're not struggling with your faith or the application of it, then you're not converting. And as Catholics, we don't believe that once saved, always saved. As Pope Benedict XVI said, that we're always becoming Christian. We're becoming Christian. We're always converting. So conversion is difficult because in that way, it requires us to suffer. Working definition of suffering that I like to use is suffering is what happens when you don't get your way. You don't get your way, you suffer. And no one wants to suffer. We just want our way. So conversion is difficult. But what suffering does is that it frees us from our own expectations, how we think things should be, how we think things should go, how we think the church should be, and it reconciles us to God's desire and His will. Conversion is the fulfillment of the Pater Noster. The opposite of suffering is taking charge of your life. I'm going to take charge. I'm going to control the controllables. Right, because there's a lot of variables out there. But when we want to take control, we recognize, okay, that's not a variable. I can control that piece. I can control that piece. I can control that piece too. We take charge of our suffering. That's the opposite. That's what we don't want to do. But that's what these people who want to fix Jesus' church do. They don't trust Jesus anymore. He's taking too long. This is a bad pope. I'm going to fix this myself. I'm going to recognize and resist. I'm going to control the controllables. I get it. Again, they're suffering. This is a bad gay pope. Objectively, I think we can look over the past 10 years and say, man, this papacy has been horrible and gay. And so we want to take charge. We want to fix it. We'll make it less gay. Right? We want people in there like Burke. We want people in there that this is good. Like Seurat. All the people he shuttered down, that bishop down in Puerto Rico who didn't want the vaccine. We want people like that, Strickland. We want to fix it. Jesus is taking too long. I can't trust the Lord anymore. Right? Things are not going our way. We're suffering. And there's a lot not going our way, this papacy. The loss of the traditional mass for some people, and I think if you're a North American Catholic, that's, man, suffering, right? So we choose the easy path by taking charge, recognizing and resisting. That's what the Catholic Identity Conference and Lightside News calls it, right? It's really not recognizing and resisting anymore. It's really just denying and apostatizing. So, Doctor of Philosophy, Dr. Taylor Marshall. He has excommunicated himself, Latte Cynthia, ipso facto, on the same grounds that Vigano excommunicated himself. Let me show you the evidence of this. Let me first bring up Vigano's excommunication letter. Let me blow it up for you. All right, this is from the Doctrine of the Faith on the 4th of July, 2024. It says, based upon his public statements manifesting his refusal to recognize and submit, not recognize and resist, recognize and submit to the Supreme Pontiff, his rejection of communion with the members of the church subject to him, and the legitimacy of the magisterial authority of the Second Vatican Council are well known. So these were the grounds of the Latte Cynthia, again, ipso facto communication, which cannot be reversed or undone unless he makes a good confession to the satisfaction of the apostolic see itself. Okay? All right, so on those same grounds, Taylor Marshall was excommunicated himself. And you may be asking, well, what if Taylor Marshall is not explicitly repeating or holding to exactly the same things Vigano is holding? Because that, you know, Taylor Marshall does speak and, you know, he's not very clear at times, right? Other times he is, but, you know, there's contradicting statements in all of his videos. But here's the thing, all right? So Dr. Taylor Marshall, he does need to be pressed if he accepts Vatican II and if Francis is the Pope. We need to send him a dubia. But even if he doesn't, by virtue of promoting the positions of a schismatic, Vigano, which he's doing in a series of videos and which he has in the past, he has excommunicated himself by virtue of echoing, promoting, endorsing, propagating, positioning up, giving platform to the schismatic Vigano. Right? As a type of proxy war, I'll explain that later. This is in sort of like a communicado of idioms, right? Taylor Marshall is using Vigano as a mouthpiece of himself. That's what's going on here. So, but this is the position of Pope Benedict the 14th, one of the most brilliant popes next to Benedict the 16th, of course, in his encyclical Privatus Romanum, that is to the Roman province, in 1751. He wrote this following up his predecessor, Clement the 12th, his 1738 papal bull in enmity, Speculum, against Freemasonry, right? That's what it was about. And so a lot of the kings, queens, whatever, especially in Spain, other places, they were concerned that Benedict the 14th had not really followed up Clement XII's his prohibition against Freemasonry. And they were like, are you a Freemason? Because you haven't echoed what Benedict the Clement has said. And Benedict the 14th was like, why should a pope have to echo another pope? Clement has spoken on this issue. If you're a Catholic and Freemason, you're excommunicated. And so, but the pressure campaign kept going on. People kept accusing him of being a Freemason because he wasn't saying anything. He wasn't. And so he wrote this in Privatus Romanum. He says in paragraph one, speaking about Clement the 12th, he says he forbade everyone and individual Christians under the penalty of excommunication to incur ipso facto, again, latae sentia, without any declaration from which no one could be absolved by others except to the point of death, other than a Roman pontiff himself, of attempting. Now get this. You're excommunicated from the church if you attempt or even dare to enter the company of Freemasons. So if you attempt or even like flirt with it, you're excommunicated. If you propagate them, so if you propagate Freemasonry in any sort of way, like what he's doing with Vigano, if you propagate them, when you speak through them, if you advance them in any way, which they taught Taylor Marshall is doing with Vigano, or give them favor, which Taylor Marshall is doing with Vigano, or shelter, hide them, register to them, or join or intervene or more. As in the same letter, more widely and more widely contained, right? So then he's, and this is really an interesting encyclical because then he takes enmity and just puts it in his encyclical, right? After this point, which is interesting. It's the first time I've ever seen like a pope just like copy and paste another pope's encyclical, but that's what he did. And so the teaching here is excommunication ipso facto is not just you committing the act itself, such as schism, but if you take someone who is excommunicated or the action itself and you promote them, you advance them, you show them favor. So Dr. Taylor Marshall may be trying to hide behind Vigano or use Vigano as his mouthpiece to promote schism. But because he's advancing Vigano, because he's advancing schism, because he's promoting schism, because he's showing favor to schism, because he's propagating schism, he's a schismatic himself. And he's excommunicated and outside the Catholic Church. But let's play a clip so I can reinforce this point. Let's play a clip of Taylor Marshall engaged the philosopher of the doctor of philosophy. Taylor Marshall engaged in this behavior of advancing schism and schismatics, therefore making himself guilty.
The conciliar revolution of which Bergoglio is the implacable executor has as its aim the dissolution of Roman Catholicism into a false religion without dogmas that is of Masonic inspiration.
And let me just pause it there, because Vigano always talking about Masonic, which, you know, for me always sends off like red alarms. just like, because I find it funny. More so interesting, like a funny, interesting, like, hey, that's funny. That these people always accuse Freemasons of what they themselves are guilty of. This is common. You see this. Oftentimes, people who are always pointing a finger this way can easily point at themselves. They always accuse Freemasons, again, of what they themselves are guilty of, which is self-determination, a key Masonic principle. But are not they the ones who don't trust Jesus with his own church? Aren't they the ones who set themselves up to do the job of fixing the church themselves, this self-determination? I'm going to fix the church. Are not they the ones who setting themselves up as their own magisterium, as their own arbitrators of truth? They have become their own accusers. Rad Trad Inc. are the true Freemasons. They are the true infiltrators. Let's continue.
Solution to be obtained through the parliamentization of the church on the model of civil institutions. This requires the downsizing of the papacy and the extinction of apostolic succession, together with the radical upheaval of the ministerial priesthood. For this reason, even if at the moment it is appropriate to suspend definitive judgment on the popes of the council, it is necessary to put everything that they have produced in parentheses, so to speak. In particular, the catechism, that's the new catechism of the 1990s, and the doctrinal teaching, the reform of the Mass and of the sacraments, and among these, the right of conferring holy orders. So here, Vigano states that we could suspend judgment, and it's my position that we should suspend judgment until we have clarity.
Yeah.
And that because we suspend judgment, he says there should be a parenthesis placed on everything. And I would have to ask him, if he were live with me now, I would ask him, everything from 1958 or everything since 1965 when the council ended? And perhaps I can seek Archbishop Vigano and ask His Excellency to clarify if he has a date in mind here. But he definitely states there is a parenthesis.
First of all, why in the hell do we care what a schismatic thinks? What's the value here? What's the value point? Again, it's funny, a little bit interesting that Vigano wouldn't do this interview live. He wouldn't appear on camera, which is a sort of a nod I'm giving to those of you who don't think that Vigano is even alive, that when he appears, it's just some sort of a hologram or not even him. All right. I'll give you that nod. It's interesting. But it's more interesting that Dr. Taylor Marshall, because of this apparent technical glitch, why Vigano couldn't appear on camera, that he could have used that as a sign from God to just cancel this whole thing, but no. But I'll tell you why he continued. But again, I digress. Why in the hell do we care what a schismatic thinks? The only thing we care about coming out of the mouth of Vigano are words of repentance. Why is this schismatic being affirmed in his solitary thoughts that are just going to lead him to hell? I mean, does Taylor Marshall, does he platform Mormons? Does he platform other types of Protestants, Jehovah's Witness, other pagans? Tell me what you think. Answer my dubia. No, because there's no value point there. There is no salvation outside the Catholic Church. I'm not going to platform a person to just spew their garbage to you without correcting them. He never does that in these series of these dubias that he sent them. He doesn't correct him. He affirms him. He says, oh, yeah, I think that too. Yeah, I agree. He's using Vigano, and I'll tell you why. I'll get into this. But he's using Vigano as his mouthpiece to spread schism, which means that he himself is excommunicated. So it's not just whether you are a schismatic yourself that excommunicates you, but the church is teaching, at least through Benedict the 14th, but it's also whether you give schismatics favor, shelter, hide them, promote them, advance them. Taylor Marshall, he's continued to do this in this series of readings of the dubia that he sent to Vigano to answer those questions he asked. Again, like I said, what I heard of on Christine Harrington's video, Taylor Marshall, this is a glitch, apparently, why Vigano couldn't appear. But he doesn't take that as a sign from God that he should have abandoned this whole exercise. Not a surprise. And I'm about to tell you why. You know, the term proxy war, it refers to a proxy war is when two parties, typically, I would say parties, are doing their fighting through stand-ins. Let's call them that. Let's call Ukraine a stand-in for the United States. Right? These stand-ins are like just proxies. They're stand-ins for larger powers, typically, to orchestrate conflict behind the scenes. That's a proxy war. Proxy war is just when a larger person or group or agency uses a smaller or maybe even not sometimes much smaller, just someone to their advantage to do their will, something that they can do openly out in public, but this person can do out in public. That's proxy. And so like even corporations have like proxy votes. You know, you have shares, right? Shares of stocks. Sometimes you can assign someone as your proxy vote. They stand in for you to do your bidding. Proxy. Rad Trad Inc. Again, for those of you who are kind of slow, I'm not saying Rad Trad. I have nothing against people who radically do anything. I love radical behavior. I do. I especially love people who live their faith radically. So I'm not speaking about Rad Trads. I'm talking about Rad Trad Inc. Inc. The money grab. The Marxists. The CIA ops. Rad Trad Inc. in their Recognize and Resist campaign, or again, as it really has exposed itself as deny and apostatize, they're using clerics such as Vigano, such as Altman, such as Athanasius Snyder to fight a proxy war against Pope Francis at the Vatican. They're using these type of clerics to do things that they themselves cannot do. They're using them. And they sort of boost them up and promote them, right? They show them favor. They affirm them. They make them popular. They point, invite them to their conferences, right? So this is all an effort to prop up clerics harming their soul to fight a proxy war. Clerics have to watch out for Rad Trad Inc. because they're coming for you. They'll be in your inbox. They'll, again, be inviting you to their conferences. They'll invite you to their podcast. This is just all an effort to boost you up so that they can use you in this proxy war. The goal of proxy war is not to win anything. Usually proxy wars, it doesn't result in a win. Usually proxy wars results in some sort of maybe a weakening of the opposing group is also fighting as opposition through their proxy. Or in a case of, you know, again, let's use Russia and Ukraine. You know, it's just a setup. Ukraine is a proxy state to the United States, right? For other desires that you know, the Democrats want to advance in an area such as gay stuff, you know. So the goal of the proxy war is not to win, but in the case of rad trading, it's just to make money. Let's keep this simple. Let's just apply Occam's razor. The most simple solution is probably it. Just to make money. It's a money grab. It's to redistribute wealth, kind of like Ukraine as well. All right. After the whole thing has been torn down, after Boeing has made all the money they can make, after Blackstreet, Vanguard, State Street, rather, Vanguard and BlackRock has made all the money, it's going to be time to make more money to rebuild the whole place, right? It's just a money grab. It's redistributing wealth. In the cases of government and proxy wars, redistributing your taxes to the war machines and the rebuild machines. In the case of Rad Trad Inc., to redistribute your wealth through the funnel, money laundering schemes through their conferences, through their books, just money laundering. Through the ad revenue. That's a money grab. Redistributing your wealth into their pockets. Why else? Explain to me. You don't believe me? Well, I got a number of scenarios for you. In the form of a question, why else would Taylor Marshall publish a fictional book under the title Infiltration and promoted as being nonfiction? To promote a fictional book as if it were factual. The book is loaded with fiction. The main thesis of the book is fiction. That the Carbonari were Freemasons and the Alta Vendetta was a Masonic document. Carbonari were not Freemasons. No more than the Sons of Liberty or the Capitunan of the Philippines. These are just revolutionary groups engaged in fighting a war. Yes, there were Freemasons in there, just like Sons of Liberty, just like the Capitunan, just like the Illuminati. But they were not Masonic groups in league with the Grand Lodge, and all the members were not Freemasons. So it was not a Masonic group, and the Alta Vendetta was not a Masonic document. Yet this is the main thesis of the book, a lie, fiction. And if he had done, like, I don't know, I expect Father Chris Aylor to write a book like Infiltration because he doesn't do research, but we're talking about a doctor of philosophy. So why would he write this book? Well, it's a money grab. He made hundreds of thousands of dollars off of it by claiming what was fiction was actually factual. Redistributed your wealth into his pocket. It's a money grab. Why else would he claim that he was surprised, Dr. Taylor Marshall, when someone threw the Pachamama idol off the river? Oh, I'm surprised by this. Let me get this guy on my podcast who did this. Well, all the while, he was the one that orchestrated it. He's the one that paid Andrew Tushin, whatever his name is, paid him, organized it. Even Michael Voris tells this story. Michael Voris told me this story over dinner one time. Because he was there in the room when it happened. They were all sitting around laughing about it. Ha ha, what if someone went in and took the Pachamama idol and threw it in the river? Michael Voris says, after dinner, two people were left in the room. Taylor Marshall and the guy. You got to be in a room where these things happen. There's a song like that in the Hamilton play. Room where it happens, the room where it happens. In this room was when the money grab was designed. He lies. He's not someone you can trust. And I know some of you say, Oh, David Gray. Taylor Marshall, he prays the rosary. He has 8 kids. He goes to the traditional Latin Mass. I don't care. Have you not read People to Lie by Scott Peck? It's an amazing book. I read it like 12 years ago. Amazing book. Over maybe like 20 years ago. But amazing. Have you read it? In a book, People of the Lie, Scott Peck, he's a doctor of psychology or something like that. He says that all narcissists have the appearance of being good people. This is important to them. Have a manicured family. Go to church together, dress well, appear well-mannered, find positions in the community to raise their level of importance. This is what all narcissists do, according to Scott Peck, because they have to. Appearance is everything to them. And they fool everyone, their spouse, their kids. No one really knows. They're always visible in the church. Image is vital to them. So I don't care what liturgy you go to. I don't care how many times you pray the rosary. I don't care how many kids you have. Does the liturgy live in you? Does the rosary live in you? That's the question. That's the only question. I'm going to break this down real quick. And then I'm going to get to your comments, because I see you made a lot of them. I'm going to break down three reasons why Dr. Taylor Marshall is driving his followers into schism. Reason number one. The first reason why Dr. Taylor Marshall is driving his followers into schism. Why 76% of them believe that what's true is not true. Again, let me bring this up. let me bring this up. 76% of his followers believe that what is true is not true. That's amazing. And this question itself is leading people into schism. And you know how polls are. Polls aren't even real. Polls are mechanisms to convince people what you want them to believe is true. You've seen these polls with Kamala Harris. Apparently in a lead in some places. I don't know anyone besides a few black women that I know back in the States who are voting for Kamala Harris. Maybe some feminist women, some leftists who just want to kill their babies. And maybe some guys who want to also kill babies. I don't know. But according to these polls, she has all the momentum, right? Polls are not real. They're devices by which people use to manipulate the masses into believing what they want them to believe. And so that was that poll. That poll was by Dr. Taylor Marshall. It was a leading device. It's kind of like leading your witness. And so the more people who are voting and you're sitting there, you're saying, well, man, a lot of people think it wasn't. Maybe I should change my votes. Maybe something's wrong with me. What? 70% believe that. Oh, that must be true. The majority believe that it was. Change my vote. That's how polls work. So, but the reason why this happens is leading people into schism. The first one, it's going to shock you. That's a strong word, but I have to use it. Because other words I use don't seem to really make the effect. So I have to speak sharper to you. Right? The sheepdog really has to bite down on this thing. The first reason why Dr. Taylor Marshall is driving his followers into schism, because it's masturbation. It's masturbation, my friends. It's self-indulgence, by another word. Anyone living in a state of sin, you may understand this concept well. I know I do from my years outside of Christ. Anyone living in a state of sin, such as disobedience to Christ and his church, they're more comfortable in their sins when they see other people doing the same sins. Again, you're more comfortable in your sins. You're more affirmed in your sins when you see other people doing the same sins. So you want to encourage people to sin like you because it affirms you. You want people where you hurt people, hurt people. That's another saying. Because it validates and affirms them. So Dr. Taylor Marshall and Vigano want you to join them in schism and excommunication because it validates them. It's like polling. Oh, people believe what I'm saying, so it must be true. Right? It affirms them. It validates them. This is why Dr. Taylor Marshall is just masturbating all over you. Again, sorry for the graphic language. But you have to understand the sin of self-indulgence, what it wants to do. Dr. Taylor Marshall, he has to produce this type of porn. Because people who watch porn, they watch porn because people in porn. Everyone's sinning. So sinners have to watch sin. It affirms them. It validates them. People are doing what I'm doing. Porn affirms porn watchers. So Dr. Taylor Marshall is porn. He's producing porn. And his content in that way is very harmful for you to watch. And as long as you watch it, you're affirming him in his sin. If you don't believe me, go read the comments in his videos. It's all porn affirmation. Oh, I agree, Dr. Taylor Marshall. I stand with Vegano. You're right. Francis is bad. And we're leaving the church. It's, you listen to Dr. Taylor Marshall long enough, you're going to be a set of a contest in no time. Then you're going to be outside the church. It's porn. Porn leads you away from God. It's all affirmation. Let me get to the next one. The second. The second reason Dr. Taylor Marshall is leading his followers in the schism is because the Holy Spirit does not live in him. Did you listen to the readings from Mass this Sunday? I don't know what the readings were in the male kite or the 62 missile. I don't know. But for the ordinary form, it came from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through chapter 5, verse 2. They say, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, of which you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Apostle Paul says this then. He says, all bitterness, all fury, all anger, shouting, reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. So bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reviling, malice. These things must be removed from you. Why? He says, well, you must be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. Then he says, so be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. And so again, at the top of the verse here, Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So again, what things grieve the Holy Spirit? How can you suppress or in a way make dead the life of the Holy Spirit within you? You can grieve it. In what ways? Bitterness, fury, and all these are unrighteous. And not righteous anger, but anger, unrighteous. Shouting, not passionate shouting. Just unrighteous shouting. Just the shouting people do when they know they're wrong. Reviling, malice. All six of these things, they grieve the Holy Spirit and can make dead the life of the Holy Spirit within you. So that in a way that the Holy Spirit does not animate you in the world. That you are not a reflection of the life of God in the world. I mean, like, you know, a schismatic. So whenever you hear people like Vigano speaking about Christ in his church in a Pope like he does, and people like Taylor Marshall thinking that's okay to echo, you know that the Holy Spirit is not living through them. It's fine to have righteous anger. It's fine to speak factually about things, maybe in a loud way, shout them from the rooftops, as we say. But all that bitterness, all that fury, all that anger, all that malice Vigano is filled with is demonic and not from God. All those feelings of anger, bitterness, fury, these are brain chemicals. And all these feelings, the only thing that's happened is Satan is using these unchaste emotions to control what can be controlled. I say it's dumb to say we have to control the controllables, because that's not even how spiritual life works. We have nothing, so we can't control anything. But Satan does use our emotions to control us. And all those emotions Satan has taken control of Vigano, it caused him to be filled with pride and leave the church. And if you are Dr. Taylor Marshall, if you watch him, if you're drawn to that type of demonic spirit, then the Holy Spirit does not live within you either. You have suppressed the animation, the life of the Holy Spirit thing. If you're drawn to that type of stuff, that's a fact. Christ Jesus is peace. Christ is life. And there is no fullness of life in Christ outside of his church. There's no salvation outside of the church. And Vigano and Dr. Taylor Marshall are outside of the church because they have excommunicated themselves. Here's the third reason why Dr. Taylor Marshall is driving his followers into schism. And Vigano as well. These men may be possessed by a demon. Only a demon would use a person to this degree that Vigano is being used to lead others to hell. Again, there's no salvation outside the church. So if you follow Dr. Taylor Marshall and Vigano, you are outside the church. Notice how they speak like Satan. Or like the serpent did, I was saying, in Garden of Eden, who said, did God really tell you, in a form of a question, did God really tell you that you cannot eat from the tree of life in the middle of the garden? Did he really tell you that? Did he really? Really? Right? The spark that's like a pole. Is Vigano really excommunicated? Really? Maybe? Is he? Maybe not. Did God really tell you to not eat of that tree? Is Vigano excommunicated? Maybe not, according to Dr. Taylor Marshall. What's true may not be true. That's satanic speak. This is how demons speak. Dr. Taylor Marshall and Vigano may be possessed. You may be following demons. And again, you mean, oh, David O. Gray. David O. Gray. He goes to church, has eight kids, prays a rosary. Perfect possession could accomplish all that. All that. Perfect possession can. So this evil these men are engaged in could be simply just masturbation, just indulgence, needing to be affirmed in their sin, so they want you to sin like them. It definitely indicates that the life of the Holy Spirit is not animating them. They are grieving the Holy Spirit. It could be masturbation. I'm sorry. It could be demonic possession. We have to find ways to explain these weird things. That was perfectly an hour. I'm proud of myself. An hour. That's what our shows are supposed to be. But let's get to your comments. I cannot wait. Can't wait to see. Let me go over here first and see what the likes are on a video. Like 44% of people said, no, David O'Gray. Even before this show got started. Let me hop over here. Let me see where we're at now. Okay. Thank you. You guys gave me a B plus. It's like 82. No, that's not B plus. It's just a solid B. 82.83% of you like this content. That's a good B. I'll take that. That means just 18% of you thought this was just too challenging. David Gray, you're an idiot. I'm unsubscribing. I'll take that. Thank you. A B. I'll take that. All right. My friend, my sister, Brianna is here. Hey, sis. Christine Harrington. She's looking forward to this one, David, especially what happened here in Indianapolis with the schism competing conferences at the Eucharist Conference. Yeah, make sure you go check out Christine Harrington's content. She's been breaking this down like she broke down the whole thing with Church Militant. I did a video on it as well. I think Father Imbarato did a video on it, but Christine really has really nailed it. LifeSite News is bad, right? And they're working with this group to do a competing Eucharistic mass at the Eucharistic Conference when that happened some weeks ago. And the crazy things at the Eucharistic Conference, as Christine Harrington pointed out, had a Byzantine or Melkite mass. They had a ordinary form and they had a traditional mass. What was the point of Father Altman showing up with LifeSite News and Vigano appearing in his hologram to offer they already had a traditional Lent mass, but so again, it's a money grab because LifeSite News could have, they raised a lot of money from you guys. They redistribute your wealth all the time. They could have just said, hey, we're going to sponsor people who want to go to the Eucharistic Conference. We'll give you $300 or we'll pay, you know, a portion of your hotel. That would have been easy. So check out Christine Harrington. Stephen B. Fish, my buddy, says inspiring and Taylor Marshall don't mix. LOL, right? Thank you, Brianna. Right. I am the subject matter expert on Freemasonry. Thank you. Christine Harrington says, what's sad with Rad Trad Inc. is they don't recognize Rome as the Catholic Church. Will Taylor Marshall start his own sect of the Catholic Church like Vigano? Yeah. And a lot of people will follow me. I think he has like 1 million subs already. He has like a really strong cult. I mean, again, look at this. 76% of people who follow him don't believe the truth. You could feed these people Kool-Aid, Christine, with poison in it. It'd be a whole heaven's gate and they'll drink it because Dr. Taylor Marshall gave it to us. People are so weak-minded. Traditional girls say, I thought SSPS got faculties for only 1 year, which is a long pass. Yeah, but Pope Francis also, he renewed it. So he's being merciful. I think confession is a good sacrament for them to have because it's a healing sacrament. And so there's healing that needs to happen in that irregular thing that's going on. So But yeah, Pope Francis, he extended it. Jora says, pray your rosary, folks. Yeah, pray your rosary. Pray it daily. But if that's not your preferred devotion, just have a strong devotion. Like, if maybe it's holy hours for you. Maybe it's the divine office for you. I would say have a holy hour. That's definitely what I recommend. Jora says, you mean LifeSite News staff or as Communicate 2 for supporting Vegano? I would say LifeSite News is a schismatic production. It is. I don't know. I wouldn't go so far as say everyone there is in schism. I wouldn't even say, I don't even know. I would even go so far as say John Henry Weston is in schism. I don't. But, they're engaged also in a proxy war. They're propping up schism. They're promoting schism. Having Vegano at a mass is clear evidence. I don't know the depth of John Henry Wilson's engagement, involvement in this. I want to say that it is very involved. And if it is, yeah, he's a schismatic as well. But LifeSite News is a schismatic publication. Dr. Taylor Marshall one day talks about an ancient Catholic group being martyred to. I commented their missal was at least 1,000 years old at Trent. He dropped my comment. I dropped it. That's funny. Jacob Rahi. He says, I had to stop listening to Taylor Marshall a few months ago. He had me doubting the church and its authority. Yeah, I think that's very good, Jacob. Very good. That was wise discernment on your part as evidence that the life of the Holy Spirit lives within you. That you heard something that was not true. And he who is truth, who lives in you, could not reconcile that. I mean, I'm sure you just had just like a gut thing, like, hey, that's just not right. This isn't sitting well with my spirit. That's great evidence that the Holy Spirit lives within you. Good job, man. I think that's the good route to go. My sister says the same thing. Joseph, I stopped following Taylor Marshall after his split with Tim Gordon. What do you think about Patrick Coffin, who seems to be leading his followers into sedevacantism? Yeah, I haven't really followed much where Patrick Coffin has been since Benedict died. I think where I left off with him, I think I was either speaking with him or asking a question on another video he was in. I think that because I asked him, and I personally like Coffin. I've known him for, man, a long time. And we don't talk on the phone as much as we used to, but it'd be nothing for him just call me or I call him, right? But on this subject, I departed from his argument. When I had asked him a question about the Cardinals, and I said, hey, well, if Francis is not a true pope and he's appointing these Cardinals who will be at the next conclave and elect the next pope, that means that the next pope is not validly elected. And Coffin then realized the logical conclusion to his argument, and he admitted, like, yeah, the next pope isn't a valid pope either. So I respect him arriving at his logical conclusion that I wanted him to, but there's no follow up to that. I mean, that's a position that's like outside the church. That's schism, right? So like him, but again, until he like fixes that position, I mean, you'll never see him again on this platform, right? So JM says, question, where's Taylor Marshall's bishop in all this? Why hasn't his bishop needed reeled him in, right? Like, who's his bishop? I don't know. Right? He never like, and I've never seen him speak about his bishop or has bishop on his platform. I think that says enough right there. Right? Like, you have 1 million followers and yet your bishop has not been on your platform. Right. Even if I were to ask my auxiliary bishop, right, hey, would you come like on my platform? I'm pretty sure he would say, yeah. Right. I don't have that type of content, and but I think that's a very important question. I think that says something, right? Catholic Stereo says, it's kind of like me, like, no Marshall, no Lofton, right? Yeah. Can a church organization make unjust judgments? Is excommunication infallible? Latte sentia ipso facto excommunication does not fall within that criteria of saying, is this true, not true? Is this fallible, infallible? Because ipso facto excommunication, we excommunicate ourselves. Again, example is abortion. A woman procures an abortion, she's ipso facto excommunicated. A man becomes, or a woman becomes a Freemason, they're ipso facto excommunicated. It doesn't really have to rise to this penal level, such as it did in Vigano's case. That was more for public consumption. No. And not in this case, that doesn't apply. Now, I think to the broader question, can a church excommunicate a person, whereas the ipso facto self-excommunication is not the is not what's being adjudicated, right? So I guess possibly, because excommunication is not necessarily like a dogma or some sort of like magisterial teaching, even though there's aspects of it, the reasons why I could fall into like the lower tiers of magisterial teaching. Like, was this about faith and morals? Was this teaching, this person teaching something? So I guess that's possible, that there could be an excommunication that's not latte sentia, that possibly could, but again, that's not what's going on here. Vigano excommunicated himself. Christine Harrington says, you are correct, David. When I saw Vigano's video at the fake Eucharistic Congress put on by John Henry Weston and Corpus Christi for Uni Peace, Vigano looked demonic. It gave me the creeps. Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people have that sense of what's like, I mean, it was really good. Because, dude, you're possessed. I don't know if that's a hologram we see, but you just don't look healthy. Christine said it. You know, I didn't want to go there. But yeah. Yeah. That's sad, really. You ever be walking, you're like walking around, or maybe even people in your family, and you can just kind of look into somebody's eyes and you can just see that there's no life within them. They just look dead. Man, doesn't that make you want to pray? Like, man. And I always see that. I'm always want to say, man, well, how you doing? What's going on? Because, you know, suicide is like real, you know. And so, man, Vigano is like the same way, man. Just, is there life in there? Or is that a hologram? Oh, here we go with the Joan of Arc comp with Vigano. Yeah. Yeah, I think his this is the excuse his defenders are using. Yeah. I guess that's an example. I think when Banamon FJ said, I guess that's an example right there with Joan of Arc. I think there's historically some others as well. But I don't think, again, I don't think those were ipso facto as communications. So those are like adjudicated. The Inquisitions. All right. We could go back even to the Knights Templar and their head getting cut off, which historically I question, because they were like being tortured. And, you know, saying, hey, did you do this and that? They're being tortured to death. So it wasn't even their own free will and accord, which they admitted guilt to. And King Philip the fourth or fifth, he's just a bad person. I mean, he wanted to redistribute the wealth of the Knights Templar. All right. And so maybe that's another example of excommunications that were not really just, but they were not necessarily either ipso facto. They had been adjudicated. So my friend Robert Nugent is here. Said, hey, I agree with you. I appreciate that. Always like Robert when he chimes in. He's a man of few words, but high intellect. Make sure you check out his channel as well. JM says, I jumped the gun. Maybe I jumped to the... That's kind of non sequitur. You're right. I just immediately jumped to possession when there's other forms of... There's demonic oppression. There's influence. There's possession. So there's different levels of how demons' hand can set on your back, right? So you're right about that. Christine says, David, what's wrong with you? Let me check my grade over here. I was at 82.8%. Oh man, I'm dropped down to 80.6%. Oh man, I'm about to drop down to a C. If you haven't liked this video, like this video. I don't want to get a C on this video. My mom is going to kill me if I get a C on this video. This is crazy. 80.6? That means like 20% of you didn't like what I had to say? Come on. That's crazy. I don't want to get a C. My mom's going to kill me. David, is the answer for Marshall followers to become Eastern Catholic? Yeah, Eastern. Yeah, he's, yeah, 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 that. Yeah, if you don't like, if your problem, I guess if your problem is liturgy, you just can't get to a mass that doesn't make you suffer and you want to end your suffering. Yeah. Yeah, there's like 22 liturgical rites that are still in operation in our church. Find one. Right? If you go to like the Marian rite, it's kind of like, it's like Eastern Novus Ordo, so you may not be happy there, so don't go to Marian. But yeah, stretch your legs. Go find something that makes you burn with a desire for the Holy Eucharist and for unity with Christ and communion with Christ. So I think that comes from within. I know for me, no matter what liturgy I'm at, is here, like as a liturgy lives within me. So I was in like in Paris for 10 days in the mass I was going to daily mass. I think I went like four or five, a couple of days I missed. Cause I didn't pay attention to the schedule, but yeah, the mass was in French. I don't know any French really other than au revoir, bonsoir. I don't know. Ménage à trois. I don't know a whole lot of French. I went to mass like several days and it didn't really matter. I didn't understand anything that was going on because the liturgy lives in my heart, right? Because what the liturgy wants to do is to send us. It wants to make us apostles. It wants us to become who we've been formed to be in the liturgy wants us to be that in the world, right? So there's a deeper essence to liturgy. Beyond the forms, beyond the words, there's just a deeper truth, because at its core, the liturgy is not a what, but a who. The liturgy is a who, not a what, not a bell, not a smell, not its forms. The essence of the liturgy is Christ Jesus. So long as you know that, the liturgy, you believe that and you love that, the liturgy lives in you because Christ lives within you. And so you can go to any liturgy. It doesn't really matter. But if you're not there yet, you're still on the bell, smells, that type of stuff. Yeah. Go find a Byzantine, right? Go find Ambrosian. Go find a Melkite. Go find a Ruthenian, you know, whatever makes you happy. Jump says, just because people are wrong or incorrect does not denote some form of demonic influence, possession. Give us a break. Hey, I gave you options. One of them could be true. All of them could be true. One of them is true, though. The life of the Holy Spirit is not with. It's not animating what Taylor Marshall and Vigano is doing. It could be self-indulgence. It could be they want to affirm themselves, so they're trying to lead you down their path. It could be some form of demonic possession. I'm just throwing these out there. You don't have to accept any or all of them. I'm applying some sort of trying to make sense of this stupidity and this, yes, demonic behavior. If you're leading someone outside of church, that's demonic. You're right. It doesn't make you a demon or demon demonic influence or possess, but the action itself is demonic. That's a fact. Yeah, oh, that's how my brother was until he came home again to the church. Yeah, yes. Yeah, you can see it in their eyes, right? The darkness. Linda says, I also stopped listening to Dr. Taylor Marshall, even though he helped bring me back to the church. He started making me feel uncomfortable. I'm glad I found you and Father Umberto. Yeah, thanks, Linda. Yeah, and I want to say that, too. I think there was a time, right? Around before COVID, remember all those guys, whether it's Taylor Marshall, whether it's Timothy Gordon, whether it's Michael Voris, remember all those guys used to say the same thing. They used to all in their videos, get to a traditional Latin mass. And I think a lot of people did get to a traditional Latin mass. And I think it helped a lot of people's families. Maybe it brought them back to the church. Fine. Fine. So we can say two things are true. Some of what Dr. Taylor Marshall did in the past was helpful. Maybe the series he did on Revelation. I know he did that and other religions. People can do helpful things, but you don't have to follow someone to hell. Right? There's sometimes you just got to break up and say, this relationship just isn't working out anymore. Right? Either I changed or you changed. Something changed. But what hasn't changed is God. And if you're not leading me to God, then this relationship just can't work. You just got to get out of my life. I pray for you, but you got to go. Because I'm on one path and you seem to be on another. All right. It's not me, it's you. Sometimes you just got to say it. Joe says, I'm giving you A++. I appreciate, man. Because act like you're like a Democrat and vote as often and early as you can. Like, log into your different Gmail accounts, come back and like my video. I'm just kidding. I don't care about the likes, but I don't want to see, man. Good. We're back up to 82.5. I like that. I'll take a B, but please don't give me a C. Don't give me a C. Traditional girl said what AI can do is disturbing. Yeah. I need to make a video about that because we're coming up on the point where maybe by 2026, 90%, 96% of the internet is going to be AI. It's It's crazy. And even, you know, what I do in digital media, it's crazy that it's so hard for me now to find like original images, even like on Adobe stock. I can't find original images. They're being flooded out, being over the original images that used to be there. You can't find them anymore. Everything is artificially generated. Content, ESPN, a lot of people just making, no one's making content anymore. The human experience is just like disappearing. We're going to have to go back to a time where you and I sat in front of each other and had a conversation. Because AI technology is to the point now where right now, this whole video right here, a lot of what I said in this video could have been produced by my AI clone. And I'm going to get an AI clone, by the way, just because I want my, my grandchildren, future great grandchildren to like have an experience with me. They have these AI clones. Did you know that they have AI clones? You can like fill all your content and memories with. And so like 1,000 years from now, a great, 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 great grandchild of mine can like have a conversation with great, 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 great grandpa about his life. So I kind of like AI clones. I do. But there's like a horrible side to AI that is like, we got to have as a church, have a conversation about how to navigate this. So yeah, it's going to deceive you a lot of people. So anyway, an hour of me talking, 30 minutes of you talking, and that's the show. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thanks for the solid B grade. I really appreciate you. And I'll be back. I'll try to be back next Monday. Try to make this a once a week thing. Like I said, I'm getting ready for Farther. Hell no. I've got like 8 shows that we're producing. So it's going to be hilarious. But I'll catch you in the next one. But until then, until next time, remember that Jesus loves you. So live your life. Be my friends.